afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, August 5th, 2022. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hey, Melody, you made it through Friday again.
I did. We did. How about that?
You did. And the way the time is flying, it'll be Friday again tomorrow. But anyway, it's good to be Friday.
Yes, it is. It is good to be Friday. And I don't know, Butch. I don't know what we're going to talk about today. We're not allowed to talk about the news.
I know. Isn't that pitiful?
You know, we're not allowed to talk about the news. I guess we can only talk about recipes. Maybe we can talk about, what else can we talk about? Dogs.
Well,
maybe we can talk about cats.
As a matter of fact, I do have a dog story at the end of the program today. But, yeah, we got to keep it upbeat because some people can't handle the truth, and we know that to be true. I mean, they panic. They want to hear the fuzzy-wuzzy, you know, cotton candy stuff. They don't want to hear anything truth. And I don't understand them, Melody, especially if they're Christians. They should be able to see that this is prophecy being fulfilled as we speak. That should be exciting, not depressing. It should be exciting to see these things. I mean, we got a lot to talk about in the way of Ukraine today and China again, Taiwan. But these are fulfilling prophecies.
Oh, we can talk about that.
Here we
are. That's all gloom and doom.
I know. But
we
actually,
didn't talk about that stuff.
Well, actually, it's uplifting because we see Christ's word coming true out of Matthew 24. So we should be excited. You know, I don't know what people think. I don't know why they get all frustrated and upset. I think their faith is weak, maybe. But nonetheless, you know, I like to talk about good things. Maybe talk about, you know, I mean, I just saw 7 deer here in the backyard. One was a buck, and they're eating apples, and then a couple of fowls are jumping around and playing. That's fun. I enjoy that. I can talk about that.
Well, you know, when I saw a couple deer here where I live in the subdivision I live, I was going home a day or so ago, and there was 3 of them, and 2 of them had little antlers. So
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called when they're little. Are they called antlers?
They're still called bucks, yeah. They're antlers, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But they weren't big, but you could still see the fuzz on them and stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're still on velvet. But, you know, I thank God where I live. I live out in the country. If ever get you down to see me sometime, you see what I'm saying. There are no houses around my home. There are no houses within sight. It's very secluded, very private. And I get to watch turkey in the field and deer, and sometimes a bear wanders through. And it is a nice place to be. So I'm very blessed. But to know the truth and news happening shouldn't be depressing. It should be uplifting to know we're seeing God's word come true and judgment on America. America's definitely in the judgment. We just aren't at the point
I have
where
an idea.
What's that?
Well, if we talk about the Ukraine, the war with Russia, maybe we'll just have to spin it and say, well, listen to this great war that's going on. Isn't it fabulous? It's just unbelievable. That handsome Russian president, Vlad, riding that horse. Maybe we should tell the story that way.
And by the way, you got a very pretty girlfriend, too.
Yes.
So anyway,
isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful. She's a redhead.
And you know what? And, you know, we have to tell the listeners this while we're going down this road. Then I'm going to go to the precious metals market and into some news, financial news here. Is we get letters all the time. 99.999%. They're all good, positive, wonderful people, and every once in a while, and normally I don't even pay any attention to them whatsoever, but Butch did.
Yeah.
Butch had to send something out, and you know, and then I was like, you know, just leave this guy alone. And what always cracks me up is the ones who have the biggest complaints about a program that they listen to. All they have to do, there is an on and an off switch.
Oh, they figured they
so if you don't like what we're saying, turn it off. I mean, hello. I mean, if I turn on the news and, you know, it's some mainstream bleeding heart liberals, I turn it off. I don't listen to them and then call them up and call them nuts and names and nasty things and stuff like that. Just turn it off. It's that simple. And anyway, that's enough spending time on
well,
this.
Well, I'll just say this, Mel. I'll just say this. Maybe you got the same problem, Marshall.
I had a chuckle, but...
Maybe you got the same problem Marsha does with light switches. She can get them on, but she can't get them off. Well, he can turn the radio on, but he can't turn it off. I mean, that, maybe that's a problem. I don't know.
And I just don't figure that. I can't figure that out. You know, why you just wouldn't turn it off. And but anyway, let's go ahead. I want to turn off these gold prices today, and I want to go back to yesterday's, but we can't do that. And gold today did have pressure, did come back somewhat by 10, 11 bucks, but we're still down $16 at 1775. Silver was down 28 cents, went back below 20, but 1998. Platinum was up 3 at 942, and palladium was up 51 at 2205. And that was the jobs report today. And, you know, I told somebody earlier this week they wanted to know what the gold would be doing. I says, well, it's going to either move in either direction big, and it did based on what the jobs report did today, and that's exactly what happened. And the dollar was stronger by 0.80 at 106.55. Crude oil was down a couple cents at 88.33. Paper markets today, I think there was a little bit of a rebound in the Dow. It was down a couple hundred points, but it's up 76 today at 32,803. The NASDAQ was down 63 points, a half a percent, 12,657. S&P basically unchanged at 41.45. Asia markets, they were all positive again. I think Europe was all negative, probably because they're looking to increase rates. 10-year yield, 2.83%. So that did move up a little bit, 0.15 to the upside. And natural gas was also negative today. Brent crude was up at 94.33. So I guess the big thing that hit the markets today, the Fed rate hikes are expected to be more aggressive. Excuse me, after this strong jobs report that came in, and I'm thinking to myself, who's going to believe this one? Are you kidding me? I mean, this jobs report was an unusually large U.S. jobs report, so it's going to stoke the case for an unusually large rate hike. And so they're looking to have another 75 basis point. 528,000 jobs last month, the economy added. But you know what? I did tell this to Dave the other day. I said, you know, I said they could have a stronger jobs report this time, but I think the next one is when it catches up. And this is an election year, because it's just now that these major companies are laying off and so forth. And so I think it's the next jobs report that we're going to see for August that might have, or maybe even after the summer comes September. But 528,000 jobs last month, far larger than expected. And the data for June was also revised higher to show 398,000 jobs created instead of the 372. And the unemployment rate fell to a pre-pandemic low of 3.5%. So this is the strength of the labor market as a double-edged sword for the Fed officials. And again, they're going to see it as a sign that they can continue to raise rates to tame inflation. That's probably what they needed. And you know darn well that the Fed and the government works together, that they're on the same book line. And, you know, if we need strong numbers here, they're going to give it. If they need stronger rate increases, they're going to do it. If they need softer ones, they're going to do it. If they need to accommodate Wall Street, they're going to do it. I mean, they work together to create this utopia, I guess, that everything is okay. And it's an election year, Butch.
Oh, yes. 3 months away, you know, actually. 3 months away.
And these numbers should mollify any recession fears. You know, and that's what it was all about. And so, you know, let's go on and see what some of these upcoming numbers are going to show us and tell us that we're not in a recession right now. And where do people think that they're at? Now, next Wednesday, we have the Consumer Price Index inflation reading. And so that's where the attention is now going to turn. And I'll guarantee you that Consumer Price Index will be lower. And everybody's going to cheer and you might have more pressure on gold. That's how I view it, knowing what they do and how they do it. And so we'll see, but that's a big number that will be watched. But, I mean, you have oil prices drop, gasoline prices drop. But my question is, have your food prices dropped at all?
No.
And so we drop from, you know, the annual 9.1, so it drops to 8.2, or it's still 7. You know, gasoline prices fell from 5. I saw them at 3.99. It's still 3.99 or 3.79. And you've already been hurt. Can you recover? It's like, that's what people don't get. You know, if you lose $100,000, how hard is that to recover? Most people don't, or it takes a very long time. It's the same thing with inflation and the prices that you pay, your purchasing power. You had to use your credit cards and everything. How easy is it going to be to pay down those credit cards with higher interest rates? It's not going to be easy at all. So don't let these numbers kid you in thinking that if they go down, and they're going to go down. It's an election year. Then the Democrats are really gaining momentum. And if the Republicans sit back thinking that they got this deal all soaked up come elections, they're going to lose. And I think the next 2 years will be far worse than the first two. The Democrats can hold everything that they got or gain. Katie, bar the door. So anyway, and I'll tell you what, Democrats do show up when they're needed. And this Roe v. Wade, they had promoted a lot of Democrats to get in there and start voting and signing up to vote. And don't let, you know, so don't think that it's a slam dunk, even though elections really don't matter that much anyway. But anyway, it could be worse.
It could be worse. And it could get worse. And whether Republicans get in or not, it's not going to get much better. It just isn't. It's too late to turn this thing around. It can't be done. It may slow down, but you can't stop it now. We're too far in debt as a nation, as a world. If we were the only nation in debt in the world, then probably the world could just shrug us off. But every nation in the world's in debt. I mean, they're sinking, literally going under right now. We can name some of them. And so, no, this is not going to turn around. The whole world is going under financially.
You know, there's a new report that says inflation is going to cost families $4,400 this year alone. That's from the American Consumer Institute. Papa John's took a 7.8% price increase in 2022. Disney, well, we'll talk about something happy. The happiest place on earth could also be the priciest. Disney World prices are up 3,871% in 50 years, more than wages, rent, and gas. I don't even know how families can get to Disney World. I mean, it's just amazing what people pay for those prices to go to the. I mean, it is something very special, I guess, to take your family. And a lot of grandparents, I think, are taking the families and so forth because they're the only ones that can play. But anyway, so yes, 4 in 10 Americans are cut spending to cover health care costs. All right. So that's the reality. And most realities are not pleasant in today's world, Butch.
Well, reality is today, Melody, that when you're out running errands, you think twice before you pull into a fast food place because the price is doubled. In a lot of these places, you think twice about it because your money's tight already. Maybe used to be you drive through and get a burger and going down the road, nothing to think about it. But that's no longer the case in a lot of places. So yeah, folks, it's you make think twice. It makes think twice. I like to go for a drive maybe Sunday afternoon, but I really don't want to pay even $4 for a gallon of gas. Everybody can't afford it. It makes you think twice. And maybe it's time the Americans start understanding that everything isn't always hunky-dory and handed to us on a silver platter. Maybe it's time we understand that our nation has destroyed itself with the fiat currency and immorality. Maybe it's time we start realizing that we're not immune to the world's problems because we're Americans. Is that a fair statement?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe we can bellyache and cry about it, but that's not going to change anything. We get a chance. I'm going to read an article here from Peter Schiff. He said the recession is just getting started, and I think he's right. These rosy numbers you just quoted, I do believe that they're probably, like you said, made up. But even if they were true, how does it do away with what the pain has already been done to us? How does it take away the fact that we're spending 40-some cent more for food than we were last year? How does it do away with that? Okay, job is going up. That's great, but jobs wages aren't keeping up with inflation. I mean, not good they're working, but they're going into the hole working. I mean, and this article kind of hits that point. They're actually going into the hole, Melody, while they're working. They're working every day, and they're still not making ends meet. That's why we have people going to food pantries now, even though they are working the same job. They can't keep food on the table because of this. So, all right, jobs are up, but they're not paying enough to support their families. Isn't that a kind of a serious situation?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
See. But I'll start this article. I may not get it finished for a break, but I'll start it. GDP fell 0.09% in the second quarter. This followed on the heels of a 1.6% GDP print in Q1. Back-to-back contractions in GDP have historically been defined as a recession. But the Biden administration and their apologists insist we aren't in a recession. Peter Schiff appeared on the Megyn Kelly show to talk about the White House recession spin. He said that this recession is just getting started. The mantra from the White House is that two consecutive quarters of negative GDP isn't the technical definition of recession, and that the economy is just entering into another phase of recovery. Peter said, I guess they believe if you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it. But imagine if Donald Trump had tried to do the same thing. Do you think the media would go along with that? Peter emphasized that the two negative quarters are just a minimum for a recession. We're going to get a third negative quarter. We're going to get a fourth negative quarter. We're going to be seeing contracting GDP for years. This recession is just getting started. An increase in unemployment is coming. People who are pointing to a low unemployment rate and saying this means we're not in a recession, that's nonsense. Unemployment is a lagging indicator. The unemployment rate is going to rise as the recession continues. Furthermore, the labor market isn't strong. We have a very weak labor market. Real wages are collapsing. Wages have never really fallen this much in real terms in history. There's break time. All right, folks, break up the break.
No, can't be.
Hey,
is that
already.
Happy news? Is that happy news?
That's happy news, I think.
We'll be
truth.
Right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I think we finished up with...
No, it wasn't finished yet, but if you want to say something, go ahead.
No, that's fine. Don't finish
okay.
up.
It says, we have a very weak labor market. Real wages are collapsing. Never really fallen this much in real terms in history. That is a weak labor market. When you have a strong labor market, workers can demand raises. They have power. They can go to their boss and say, I want more money or I'm going to quit and take another job. That's not happening. Workers are being forced to work for pay cuts. In fact, a lot of workers are taking second jobs and third jobs because they can't make ends meet on their main job. That's a weak labor market. And folks, I know that to be true. Megan read quotes from a number of Biden administration officials in the past saying the two quarters of negative GDP growth is the definition of recession, that then saying the next the exact opposite in the last week. Peter said he's 59 years old. He's never heard of recession defined by any other way. Recession refers to whether or not the GDP is expanding or contracting. It doesn't refer to the level of unemployment or the level of inflation. It's specifically there to reference what is happening with GDP. That's how they define economic growth. I mean, I have a lot of problems with GDP, but that's how recession has been defined. Recovery is when the GDP is expanding. Recession is when it's contracting. That's it. Megan cited a report from the Dispatch outlining concerns about a wage price spiral. Because wage increase at 5.1% in Q1 beat expectations despite not keeping up with inflation. Peter called the wage price spiral another fiction created by the government in the 1970s. It is essentially a way to blame the private sector for inflation it created. If inflation is not created by workers demanding raises, it's not created by companies raising prices, it's created by government expanding the money supply. Now, folks, listen to this.
That's what I said the other day.
That's right. The more they print the fiat currency, the less it's worth. Duh. But anyway, that's a little definition of inflation. When you inflate the money supply, prices go up. Wages are just another price. They are the price of labor. Peter pointed out the wage numbers is likely accurate, but the CPI is not. It's closer to 18% than 9%, and I agree with that. I looked at other sources. That means real wages are collapsing. Meanwhile, the savings rate is at the lowest level since mid-2009. What was happening to the economy in 2009? We were in a great recession. So the last time we had a savings rate this low, we were in a huge recession. Why is the savings rate so low? Because of recession forcing people to keep dipping into the savings to pay the bills because the pay increases aren't enough. I just talked to a lady the other day who was hurt in an accident, and she said she's doing okay financially right now. She's dipping into her savings account. If she doesn't get well enough to go back out and do things, her savings account is going to dry up. And her savings account, yeah, it is there for emergencies, I'm sure. But I'm sure she wants to save it maybe for later in life, too. Put something else, do something else with it. But we don't know what's going to happen in life. Thank God she had it. But it's going away. She's absorbing it right now, just trying to keep food on the table. So, folks, let's not kid ourselves in these things. Let's not pretend like everything's hunky-dory. If you're doing well, praise God. But I know for a fact many people are actually working two and three jobs now, just trying to maintain what they have, not go out and buy something new, not buy a new car, a new home. They're trying to maintain their status quo. It's getting tougher. Go ahead, Melody.
No, it really is. And, I mean, that was a lot of great information there and very accurate. So there really isn't much to add to that.
Well, I mean, Peter Schiff puts up some good stuff once in a while, and I try to share it when I find it. But he seems like he'd been doing this quite a while, and he's seen trillions come and go. So, but another
and you know, I mean, you're right. He does have some great information so far. I'm not a fan of Peter. I mean, he's done some really wacky stuff in the past, telling people to move to Puerto Rico. I think it was him, and selling, pitching jewelry and all kinds of crazy, having a gold fund that people lost tons of money. And so, yeah, I'm not is my understanding. I'm not saying anything. I don't want to get in trouble for saying bad. I'm not saying anything bad. Get me out of this nest, Butch.
Well, no one hits it 100%.
But he
does.
That's what we used to talk about all of our competitors. They have great information to know what's going on. And because when you deal with gold and silver, you do get down to the truth. It isn't doom and gloom. It's the truth. And but then it only came to when it came to selling products and so forth, and everybody had their little niche price competition, and that's what businesses do. But as far as information, spot on.
Global poultry calling doubles as food shortage crisis deepens. Now, this is, I think, pretty shocking, really. I mean, the number of poultry called around the world has almost doubled this season as a global food shortage looms and the cost of living crisis deepens. Experts are warning that the unprecedented bird flu outbreak has caused a huge spike in calling since last season. According to figures from World Organization for Animal Health, more than 22 million cases have been reported in wild birds and poultry so far this season in 68 countries. This figure is double the 11 million recorded between October 2020 and September 2021 itself at an all-time high. So back in October 2020 to September 2021, 11 million reported. That was an all-time high then. Now it's 22 million. In an effort to curb the outbreak, 94.2 million farm poultry have been killed and disposed of.
Wow.
Last season, 54.4 million were called. Prior to 2020, the number of birds called to stem the spread of avian flu worldwide has only topped 15 million twice. Now, think about that, folks. Only topped it twice before 2020, and this year, 94.2 trillion farm poultry have been killed and disposed of this year so far. Experts say the surge and has further disrupted supply chains, contributing to higher prices. The news comes amidst a cost of living crisis and mounting food insecurity that's being exacerbated by the government attacks on farmers, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, inflation, high gas prices, and droughts. This is a devastating situation from a market and supply perspective, said Kathleen Ling, director of the Center for Environmental Farming Systems in North Carolina. Remember that the chicken comes with the egg. The cost of both has definitely gone up due to bird flu, compound inflation, and the import-export challenges. So, yeah, folks, it is making a difference. That's just one aspect. That's chickens and poultry and turkey. That's just one part of the food chain, one little niche in the food chain. That's not counting beef and pork and all the other vegetables and different things you need. That's just one little niche of it. And to show how insane the world is, Melody, the British government is offering farmers lump sum payments to stop growing food and sell their land. You heard that, right?
Yes.
I mean, the United Kingdom has introduced a new program that offers lump sum fiat cash payments to farmers who agree to stop farming and sell their multi-generational family-owned farms to the government. According to reports, farmers who accept the cash must either retire or take on a different job of which the government approves. The British government is calling the program a basic payment scheme, BPS. I say it's a scheme. You got that right. The purpose is allegedly to fulfill green policy agendas. Now, listen to that. The purpose is allegedly to fulfill green policy agendas. Older farmers who don't want to change their farming methods are being asked to quit or sell their land. In fact, new farmers can adopt alternative environmentally friendly farming techniques. The Netherlands is similarly trying to put out farming in order to go green, though it is doing so by force, rather than teasing the agriculture sector into compliance by dangling cash in front of farmers as an incentive. According to England's environmental security, the UK cannot move forward with its green agenda because older farmers are standing in the way of change. Bless their hearts. In order to go green, in other words, farming in England must end, which will starve out the population and result in a new world order for the elite to enjoy. Wow, Melody.
Which something? We did that here in the United States.
Well, yes,
paid farmers.
We're still doing it.
Yeah.
We're still
pay
doing
them
it.
Not to grow. Yeah.
Have you noticed prices went up on food all of a sudden? And lack of food?
Mm-hmm.
I don't
But we've
believe.
Been doing it. We've done it a long time, though. I believe.
We have. But fortunately, we were a big enough country that didn't affect us as fast.
Right. We imported enough. There
sure.
was enough imports coming in.
So, with all this we're saying about the poultry and everything else, and this too, this can't be something that's coincidence. Too many things are pointing towards a desire for somebody that wants the food supply cut. I think it's pretty simple, don't you?
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, this isn't rocket science. If a hillbilly from West Virginia can figure this out, I would think your puppy dog could figure it out. I mean, it's not complicated. You have to look at the happenings and look at them and see how they're going in a sequence, one matching the other. I mean, we've had 100 food processing plants and farms destroyed in about a year and a half. 100 of them in this country, not to mention around the world. And this is happening now. No, folks, this is not by chance. Please don't think that. This is fulfilling a prophecy when he said he will break the staff of bread. This is happening to the world, but it's happening right now to America, the country that's always had plenty and took it for granted for a long time. Yeah, and they forgot the one that gave them to them. That's where the payday is coming in. Any
yes,
comments,
sir.
Melody?
Nope. And, it's... I can get that a lot of people don't believe that, it's not, they're not doing this intentionally and so forth and whatnot. But just ask yourself, why? Why is this all happening? Why is it happening and all these things are coming about at this point in time? There's very little coincidence in the world. I used to say I don't believe in coincidence. Well, once in a while you might have a coincidence, but for the most part, for the things that we talk about and so forth, there is no such thing as a coincidence.
Well, ask this question: since the May of last year, about 100 food processing plants have caught on fire or blew up or just been mm-hmm. destroyed. That's about 5 or 6 a month. Is that a coincidence? Mm-hmm. I mean, food? I didn't say food and water and fertilizer. I just said food alone. 5 or 6 plants a month blow up or burn down. What happened? That hadn't happened before in history. Why is it happening now? Folks, just ask yourself these questions. This is not hard to understand.
Whole lot of follow-up on this either.
No.
I mean, it's not like they go out and say, well, this happened and that happened and, blah, 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 blah. You don't hear any of that.
You don't hear any of the causes.
Nope.
I haven't heard one of them yet give a cause, to tell you the truth.
True.
So, China's war drills disrupt container ship traffic to Taiwan's top ports. As Beijing conducts war drills around Taiwan, following a controversial trip to the island by now Speaker Nancy Pelosi, shipping vessels are avoiding Taiwan's top ports, creating what could be delayed export shipments of electronic goods, Bloomberg reported. Container ships and other vessels are dropping anchor at sea to avoid China's military exercises around the self-ruled island. This is happening outside the Kaohsiung port in the south of Taiwan, explained Jayendu Krishna, deputy head of the consultancy Dewey Marine Time Advisors. The vessels will avoid going to Kaohsiung for the next two, three days because that's directly in the line of fire. Some dry bulk ships and tankers have been asked to anchor and wait for orders. Okay. Was that intended? Well, it was not. It is. It's happening. And this is not really quietened down yet. China's ambassador called the White House after overnight sanctions. We do not want a crisis. In response to China's sanction, U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi overnight, the White House has summoned China's ambassador to the U.S., Yin Gang, on Friday morning to complain about Beijing's provocative actions. Also, of course, the MSPLA military drills, which are ongoing around Taiwan. Taiwan's defense ministry has said the drills are an attempt at blockading the island following Pelosi's overnight trip earlier this week, which infuriated China. Also on Friday, leading it to cancel a series of U.S.-China bilateral talks, including military ties and dialogue. By the way, China's threatened to cut off talks, Melody, but it's also mentioned cutting off drug supplies. We get 80% of our medicine from China. Would that affect us, Melody?
What kind of drugs are they talking about?
That is, they just said drug supplies. They didn't say what kind. Didn't say what kind. So, but if you get 8%
of them, well, I mean, a lot of the fentanyl that comes in here is from China.
I really have no idea which ones they are, but isn't that an ominous statement? We'll cut off your drugs, which means medicine.
I don't know what drugs they're talking about, because usually if you're talking about medication, you're going to say medication, not drugs.
Yeah, I don't know. But,
I think of drugs. Whenever I hear the word drugs, I think about illegal drugs.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But a lot of fentanyl comes. But, I mean, there's a lot of... Yeah. Don't they use fentanyl for other things, too?
They do. But we call medicine stores drug stores. So I don't know. But anyway, after China's action overnight, we summoned Ambassador Qin Gang to the White House to demarcate him about the PRC's provocative actions, White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby confirmed. The Chinese ambassador was officially informed that the Biden administration condemned the ongoing military drills, which also have seen dozens of military jets breach the so-called medium line, which separates Taiwan Strait. Chinese state media earlier this week said it has effectively ceased to exist. Despite Beijing's protestations to the contrary, which has also highlighted the months of U.S. weapons transferred to this self-ruled island, Kirby also emphasized in the latest statements that nothing has changed about our One China policy and said that the U.S. stands ready to respond to threats from China. We will not seek and do not want a crisis, Kirby said in the first statements. At the same time, we will not be deterred from operating the seas and skies of the Western Pacific, consistent with the international law as we have for decades, supporting Taiwan and defending a free and open Indo-Pacific. So it's not quite over yet. What's going to happen from now? I don't know. But it's not over. It's not over, folks. It's still tit for tat. We'll see. It's just about break time, Melody.
Yes, it is. And we should be returning right after these few short messages. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
The Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Melody Cedars. I'm here with Pastor Butch. And he reminded me I was only 39. Thank you for reminding me. Even us 39-year-olds forget once in a while.
Melody just said she's too old to do something. I said 39? But anyway, more war talk, and it's not just talk, it's happening. 100,000 North Korean soldiers could be sent to bolster Putin's forces fighting Ukraine. What do you think about that, Melody? I mean,
that's
really.
That's pretty scary.
It is. Up to 100,000 North Korean soldiers could be sent to bolster Vladimir Putin's forces fighting Ukraine, according to Russian reports. A leading defense expert in Moscow, Reserve Colonel Igor Korochenko, told State TV, "We shouldn't be shy in accepting the hand extended to us by Kim Jong-un." North Korea has made it clear, diplomatic channels through diplomatic channels, that as well as providing builders to repair war damage, it is ready to supply a vast fighting force, reported Regnum News Agency. They will be deployed to the forces of the separatist pro-Putin Donetsk People's Republic and Luhansk People's Republic, both of which Kim has recently recognized as independent countries. The country is ready to transfer up to 100,000 of its soldiers to Donbass, said the report by the pro-Kremlin news agency. Pyongyang will be able to transfer its tactical units to Donbass. In return, grain and energy will be supplied to Kim's stricken economy. Hey, not bad. Not bad. I mean, make a deal there. You know, Russia can export. I mean, they're the world's largest oil supplier. Why not strike up a deal?
Why not?
You know? And to show the brass of Zelensky, the audacity of this man, Zelensky accuses the EU of stalling $8 billion in aid. Either a crime or a mistake, he says. Isn't that biting the hand of Fiji, Melody?
It sounds that way.
I mean, talk about some gall. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, in a Thursday night address, lashed out at the European Union for what he called an artificial delay of 8 billion euros, about $8.2 billion, in financial assistance to the war-ravaged country. And in the remarks, he stopped short of naming specific countries and leaders, but in an August 1st phone call, he reportedly put pressure on his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron, to help release the aid, which makes up the EU's second tranche of microfinancial assistance pledged to Ukraine. Zelensky blames a European country, which he doesn't want to name, for suspending 8 billion euros of financial aid to Ukraine. "Let's believe that it's still a mistake," he adds menacingly, "and that it will be corrected." He adds menacingly that if you don't send this to me, what are you going to do about it, Mr. Zelensky? You going to attack France? What's your alternative here, Mr. Zelensky? I mean, let's believe it's a mistake. And he said it menacingly. Oh, okay. It was a rare moment that Zelensky made the brazen and aggressive allegations against the very Western countries that continue to prop up and arm his government amid the continued Russian military onslaught in the East and South. That took some gall. Now, I don't know which way it's going to go, but that took some nerve. You know? I mean, send my money. It's like a spoiled child. Mommy, where's my allowance?
Well, you don't know what all led up to this. And again,
no, you
know, it's, you know, know, he expected to be supported by all these countries and so forth and whatnot. And yeah, he's a spoiled little leader. And I mean, you know, he's depending on everybody to back him up. But yet days prior to Russia attacking, he was all laughs. That ain't going to happen. He did nothing. He did nothing to prepare that country. And everybody knew. There was warnings everywhere.
You know, I often wondered.
I have no respect for that person at all.
I often wondered why he did that.
And it's true. Even Greg Contra said, hey, you go back and read some of the New York Times articles and details on him, investigative details back in 2014, 2015. The guy's a Nazi. From the New York Times is saying that.
Wow.
So our money is supporting a Nazi, but hey, which is the bigger Nazi? Putin or, you know, so, and this is New York Times.
And then they're not known to be real conservative, are they?
No.
But we also know that we had numerous bio labs there also, which are legal in this country. We're supporting him on that. And you can look up for yourself, Ukraine is one of the biggest human trafficking centers in the world.
In the world? But that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay, yeah. Yeah, they have bio labs making illegal, unlawful, according to Geneva Convention and the EU, unlawful bioweapons. And they're big in human trafficking, but that's okay. Let's support them. Russia, the bad guys. I don't know. Well, don't get it.
I know, me neither. But I just want to do this. There was a headline that came out that 100-plus Gaza rockets fired into Israel. The IDF kills top Islamic jihad. So, you know, things are beginning to peak over there. Palestinian Islamic jihad fires over 100 rockets into Gaza, into Israel. You know, it's pretty much the same reporting that we hear each time this happens. But but I guess they got strikes destroyed Islamic jihad military structures, and including the assassination of top terrorist leader Taseer al-Jabari, whatever that means. But just again, you know, just distress in these countries.
Wars and rumors of wars, and now the Far East and Middle East is kind of heating up again, isn't it?
Yes,
I mean, it is. And it's involved, of course, the West. We're involved. We're in it. We're involved with Israel. We're involved with it, with the Ukraine. We're involved in this. But now this, to me, is a sign of how much the West is weakening with Russia. I said this on your program a while back. These sanctions are going to hurt us more than them.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And this is proof of it. Why the West is easing its sanctions on Russia. Folks, we couldn't maintain it. We can't starve Russia out. We don't have the means to do that any longer. They're doing okay on their own. And besides, they have friends that will support them. While the EU remains determined to punish Russia for its invasion of Ukraine, a shortage of energy and food is forcing their group to ease sanctions. When Russia is going to give you enough gas, natural gas, to heat your homes and run your factories and keep your businesses going, EU, then I would say that to cut them off would be kind of stupid. The EU has already added exemptions to its sanctions to reduce disruptions to essential goods, while the U.S. is now pushing an oil price gap instead of an embargo. More recently, it seems that the UK is increasingly hesitant about joining the oil insurance ban despite its significant market share in the industry. Folks, Russia is winning this war on all fronts. If you ask a random EU official if the bloc should continue trying to punish Russia for its invasion of Ukraine, you'll invariably get a positive answer. The sanction potential is reaching its end, but this is no reason for the EU to relieve the pressure, that official will say, as many have in conversation with the media. The sanction potential is reaching its end, then why continue? If it's not doing any good, why continue? You should have known better before you started. If somebody's shipping you food in or heat in, you don't quit shipping them out little trinkets. You don't do that. or you don't try to embargo them in some way, because they'll starve you out. And yet the EU has quietly begun to unwind its sanction against Moscow. The UK's Express called its caving into Putin. Bloomberg dubbed it corrections to previous sanctions. Whatever it's called, it comes down to the same thing. The EU is loosening the noose. Of course they are. They have no choice. They're too dependent on one another, but they're way too dependent on Russia. And when you depend on your enemy, your so-called enemy, to feed you and clothe you and house you, my friends, you don't want to tick them off too much, do you, Melody?
No, you do not.
So to me, this is common sense, but you know, who am I, heck? What do I know about anything? You know, all we are is conspiracy theorists, Melody, and we're just spreading bad news.
Gloom and doom.
Gloom and doom. But now, here's some good news, Melody. I think we should go ahead and do this.
Okay.
The New Hamptons super yacht cruise serves Dom Perignon.
Oh, this is good news. Let's go.
Let's go. That serves Dom Perignon and Michelin star level sushi, whatever that is. But anyway, the French Champagne House has teamed up with Michelin three-star chef Masa Takayama to offer guests a gastronomic experience aboard a luxury super yacht in the Hamptons. I understand that our producer, Toglin, takes her next weekend. But anyway, the 80-foot San Lorenzo vessel, which was customized by Dom, no less, would cruise the waters of Sag Harbor and Montauk throughout the month of August. Designed for up to 6 guests, each trip begins with a door-to-dock chauffeur service from the Hamptons to either the Sag Harbor Marina or Gurney Star Island Marina in Montauk. Once aboard the yacht, guests will enjoy a 4-hour private cruise with a dedicated butler, a special champagne concierge, and a DJ to play their favorite music. The highlight, of course, will be the food. Takayama, the chef behind the acclaimed 3-star Masa New York City, has created a special sushi omakase menu that pairs with Don's recent vintages, including 2012, the 2008 Rosé, and 2003 Plante 2. Now, the yacht packages start at $15,000 and go up to $30,000 if you opt for the menu. So, Melody, I don't know why we just don't load up and go do that.
Yeah, we could get 6 people. That's only $5,000 each.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, gee whiz.
For 4 hours.
Do that. Gee whiz.
For 4 hours.
Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out. I mean, you know, I know people aren't hurting. Everything's rosy. Jobs are up. So the gentleman, that seems like that's good news. Maybe he can go do that. Make him feel better. Now, I'm going to close the good news story, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Stray dog crashes wedding and becomes part of the family. I know you love dogs, and I do too. Douglas Robert and Tamaris Mazzini were ready for the big day. When they would commit to celebrating a happily ever after together, but Tamaris didn't know there was someone else. As the blushing bride arrived at the church, she noticed a wedding crasher had come by, a stray blonde dog that was mingling gently with guests. Not putting palm or tail out of place, the ceremony eventually commenced with the dog sitting down by the doorway to watch as if he knew what was happening. After it was all said and kissed, the beautiful couple made for the exit. That's when the dog suddenly became excited. When he greeted us at the end, he asked, take me home, told the dodo. They decided to at that very moment to make their happily ever after fit for three, adopting and naming the scrawny pooch Baya Caramello. Scars abound, suggest that his road to the door of the church had that fateful day had been not been easy for him, but that's all behind him now. He's so loving, despite everything that he's been through, he still believes in the goodness of people, Mazzini added. He gives us hope. Instagram posts suggest that three are doing very well, settling into a new lifetime together in stride. Has a full collar picture of the dog hopping up on the bride and groom going out the door. I love that story. I like that story.
That's cute.
I like that story. I mean, I have a soft spot in my heart for animals. I really do. I really do. And I just imagine a puppy, the dog just showed up, and I'll just wait till they're done, and I'll go home with them. I mean.
Especially if she had on a long white wedding dress.
She did.
You know, that's the bride's, and for a puppy to be jumping up on it and so forth. Most women would probably, who knows, they probably wouldn't appreciate that. But so kudos to that bride.
I totally agree. I mean, to me, for the dog go there and wait patiently by the door till it was over, and then go up Waggy's tail and say, "Take me home with you." I mean, that's pretty intelligent.
Is that all? Is that all I have to do?
Yeah.
No, never mind. Anyway,
well, we're about out of time. I know we are, but
thank goodness.
I'll tell this story in closing. I'll tell you why I got a puppy finally mailed. I knew I didn't want a puppy. I got one. You know why?
Why?
Do you want to know? Okay. When I first got married, I come home from work. Marsh get all excited, jump up and down, wiggle her tail, be all tickled to see me. She quit doing that, so I got a puppy.
Yeah, what'd she get? What did she get to replace you?
She got me.
She still has you?
That's right.
Oops.
Oh, well, no one has everything just right, but that's been a great program. I've enjoyed this.
Yes, it has, and we are just about out of time. So thank you, and thank everyone for joining us. And, you know, it was a little bit of a different type of a program today, and we'll be back more in the saddle come Monday, so make sure you are too. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.